As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is right now at work in those who are disobedient.
All of us also used to live among them, gratifying in the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were deserving of wrath.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
For it is by grace you have been saved, with faith. This is not from yourselves. This is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
The scripture lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Amen. Can we give God some praise in the house? Come on, come on. Can we give God some praise in the house? There is a sweet spirit in this place, and the word of God says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." The word of God said, "Oh, magnify him with me, flourish." So can we give God some more praise? Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to his name. Amen. Amen. Before I begin, I have to acknowledge someone who kind of slipped in on me. His name is Reverend Charlie Green. He is a pastor in the North Georgia Conference where I served, and as I was walking in, for him not to freak me out when I'm up here preaching, he said, "Excuse me, Bishop," and I looked, and it was Charlie, and Charlie's son and family go here. So Charlie, will you please, and your family, will you just stand, please, for me? Amen. 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 All the way from the North Georgia Conference. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just say thank you, Lord, for this day, God. And God, I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you will move in this service as you're already moving. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to you, God, because God, you're my rock. God, you're my redeemer. God, you're my deliverer. God, we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. To make sure that you are awake, because we had to spring forward this morning, I want you to turn to your neighbor, somebody that's closest to you, and say, "Neighbor." Come on, y'all got to do that. Neighbor,
neighbor.
Take Jesus. To the streets.
Street.
Turn to someone else and say, "Oh, neighbor,
oh, neighbor.
Take Jesus.
To the streets."
Street. Turn to somebody else and say, "Oh, neighbor,
oh, neighbor.
The bishop said,
take Jesus.
To the streets.
Street.
Take Jesus to the streets."
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, I was told a story that a United Methodist church, unfortunately, caught on fire. And a painting of Jesus, which hung unnoticed in the fellowship hall, was in danger of literally being burned to pieces. And this particular painting of Jesus had been in the church for about 25 years. And when the church caught on fire, two faithful trustees, say trustees,
trustees
rushed into the church and proceeded to rescue this painting of Jesus. And as the fire trucks flew down the street, many people in the community and members came out to help, but unfortunately was forced to watch this church, this United Methodist Church, burn slowly in disbelief. And after after several hours of trying to save the church, the fire was eventually put out by the local fire department. But interestingly, people from the community and the members of this church began to gather around this certain picture of Jesus. The certain picture of Jesus as if they had never ever seen it before, even though it had been hanging in the church for 25 years. The leaders of the church were baffled and amazed that this one picture of Jesus was getting so much attention. And you know how we do. Many people began to talk about this particular painting of Jesus that hung in this church for 25 years in the same old spot. A crowd of members even said to those two faithful trustees, what would we do without our trustees? They said to the trustees, we're so glad, trustees, that you came in and rescued this painting of Jesus. But as the members were looking in amazement, the senior pastor sarcastically replied, it was only when this church literally caught on fire and we moved Jesus into the street that the members noticed and became interested. See, beloved, all too often we are oblivious to what is going on in our communities. Sometimes we're too oblivious to what's even going on in our nations. And I truly believe this morning that if we want to stop the hemorrhaging of the United Methodist denomination, if we want to eradicate the problems in our communities, if we want to fight for the lives of our young people, if we want to take a stand against the racism and the sexism that sometimes we experience, if we want to bear fruit in our ministries, if we want to have vital congregations, if we want to build stronger relationships with our communities, then I believe that we must take Jesus to the streets. Can I get an amen? Many, many, many of our churches still have our Lord and Savior locked and sequestered behind our four walls. And as a result of this bad behavior, our churches are still stagnant. Our churches are not inviting to everyone. Our worship is boring, but not here at Florist. We are not reaching our youth and our young adults. We lack confirmation and congregational transformation. And then we wonder when we read the stats that the United Methodist Church continues to lose members since the merger. See, beloved, I believe that God is calling the body of Christ to stop playing church. And to start being the church. Come on. Stop playing church, but being the church by demonstrating the transformation that has occurred within all of us as the result of an absolute commitment to our Lord and Savior. I stand here this morning as a proven witness. From 2000 and 2010, 2007 to 2010, I pastored a church in McDonough, Georgia. And the primary focus of this church was to take Jesus to the streets. See, our focus as a congregation to do what I call stop dabbling in religiosity and to grow in spiritual maturity. This church became contagious about sharing the good news. And how many of you all know that we have, as Christians, good news? And we became contagious about making disciples of Jesus Christ, which is the mission of the church, for the transformation of the world. See, I witnessed folks build relationships with each other because this church, believe it or not, was a three-family member church when I got there. And God blessed us that we doubled the worship attendance in 3 years, over 650 people joined. I witnessed folks coming together, working for the kingdom of God, not just our church, but people began to work for the kingdom of God that did not look like them. I witnessed folks being healed and set free. I witnessed folks filled, believe it or not, with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. And I witnessed folks determined to share their transformational experience. But let us briefly examine the text found in the Gospel of Mark. And it reads, "Go into the world and proclaim," or in some translations it will say, "Preach the good news to the whole creation." And as Bible scholars, we know that there has been great arguments on the validity of verses 9 through 20, known as the longer ending to this gospel. And Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, stops at the empty tomb without further explanation. And the last 12 verses are missing from the oldest manuscript of Mark's gospel. See, beloved, whether we agree or even disagree with scholars, the gospel writer reveals insight in this Great Commission text. And the Great Commission in Christian tradition is the instruction of the resurrected Jesus to his disciples, that they spread his teaching to all nations of the world. And it has become a tenet in Christian theology, emphasizing mission, evangelism, and baptism. Beloved, Mark instructs us to go. Say go.
Go.
Go into all the world. See, in this text, go is defined as to move out or to lead. And as believers, we are called to lead others to Christ. However, as believers, we fail to share our faith in the event that we may offend someone. Some of us, but not in here, are simply afraid to let folks know that we serve the risen Savior. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, could it be that our Monday through Friday work phase do not line up with our Sunday church phase? I know I'm doing a little meddling. George Barna has reported that we meet seven unchurched people daily, and that 87% of all Christians were led to Christ by a friend. Barna argues that the church must reinvent itself or face virtual oblivion in the mid-21st century. Sometimes it is very hard for us to grasp in this text that Jesus is not giving us an option as believers. He's giving us what they teach us, an imperative command. And this imperative command is for us as believers to move out of our surroundings, to move out of our comfort zones, to move out behind our church walls, and to find our mission field and go fishing for folks that may not look like us, act like us, smell like us, talk like us. Our responsibility is to invite folks into the church and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Yeah. Unfortunately, some people in our churches still think that we as United Methodists can put a sign out front and people are just going to rush in. I used to tell my clergy and laity when I was a DS, and I'm now saying it as a bishop, that if you are excited about serving your Lord and Savior, if you are excited about your ministries in your church, if you are excited about making disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world, you must take Jesus to the streets. See, beloved, the Bible says in Matthew 10:7 to go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Bible says in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. See, sharing the gospel message starts with you and I. And as believers, our task is to testify of the truth of the gospel to all nations. Jesus even told us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But sometimes as Methodists, we don't like that Holy Spirit thing. But you will receive power. The word says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the word says to us, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, beloved, I'm not talking this morning about solar power or hydraulic power or chemical or mechanical or electrical power. I'm talking about that Holy Spirit, dunamis, Holy Ghost power. Amen. I'm talking about that Holy Ghost power that'll heal the sin-sick soul, the Holy Ghost power that will breathe life in any dead situation. Lastly, to take Jesus to the streets, the text challenges us to preach. Say, preach.
Preach.
Preach the good news. Preach the good news to the whole nation. See, my brothers and sisters, whether you're a clergy, and lay folks, I'm not going to let you off the hook, whether you're a laity, we got to preach.
Amen.
We got to preach in season and out of season. We got to preach hope, hope to the hopeless. We got to preach victory for people who feel like they're victims. We got to preach that it was Jesus that brought me out of darkness and into the marvelous light. We've got to preach that it was Jesus that reached down and picked me up out of my mess when I was sinking in sand. We've got to preach that it was Jesus that healed the brokenhearted and set the captives free. We've got to preach Jesus. People need to hear about Jesus. People don't need to hear about what the bishop says. People need to hear the word of God. That's why it's called the word of God.
Amen.
But let me let you in on a little secret about your bishop. When I started preaching, believe it or not, this text was my signature text. I hear the baby over there. Amen, baby. And just like John Wesley, you all, I would preach to anybody who would listen to me. Amen. And you know how pastors, we love to talk. Amen. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the word. And the NRSV, New Revised Standard Version, translation states, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. And there are many people right now who feel that we are living in unfavorable times. And that's why I am saying to the pastors in the Virginia Conference, I need you to preach unapologetically the word of God. Because right now this world is so confused, some of us. But I want to let you know that preaching is defined as one who proclaims the gospel. And I like words, so I've done a little more of a study, and the word preach has a threefold message. First of all, to preach means to tell the word by mouth. Secondly, to preach means to live the gospel message. And thirdly, to preach means to demonstrate the gospel. See, as clergy, we have a mandate on our shoulders to tell the word of God by mouth. And Paul writes in Romans 10:4, how shall they hear without a preacher? Beloved, we are living in what some folks are calling restless, uncertain times, and our folks need to hear what thus said the Lord, and the word of God reminds us that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And faith, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what we've got to keep preaching and teaching. We also have a mandate to live this gospel message. And I believe that we can't preach. I'm talking again to the clergy. I believe, colleagues, that we can't preach what we haven't lived or living. And as the word instructs, let your light so shine before men and women, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And then thirdly, we have a mandate to demonstrate, say demonstrate. Demonstrate the gospel message. Demonstrate the gospel message. What use is it for us to stand behind this sacred desk of a pulpit? And they teach us in seminary to exegete the text, which means draw out from the text, and not allow our lives for you to be a sermon. So as I close, we must take Jesus to the streets, amen? Now, I've had somebody to tell me, I've preached this before, I've had somebody to say, well, Bishop, Jesus is already in the street. But I just want to encourage you that we got to take Jesus to the streets. See, the reason why is that all of us got to tell somebody about his goodness. Can I get an amen? Amen. We got to tell somebody about his amazing grace. That I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We've got to tell somebody that I was messed up, and it was Jesus that saved me and restored me. We've got to tell somebody about his grace and his mercy. We've got to tell somebody about his unconditional love, that he loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you and me. We've got to tell somebody that when I was lost, Jesus found me. When I was lonely, it was Jesus who comforted me. When I was sick in my bed, it was Jesus that healed me. When I was discouraged, it was Jesus that came and wrapped his loving arms around me. We've got to tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ. We got to tell somebody. And when we come in here on Wednesdays and Sundays and we get fueled up and go back out, we've got to tell somebody about Jesus. Jesus Christ. And why? Because he loved us. He loves us. And we've got to share the love of Jesus with folks right now. This world right now. I was in a meeting yesterday, and folks are not knowing what's next. And folks are concerned about our brothers and our sisters. Folks are concerned about our Latino and Hispanic brothers and our sisters. Folks are concerned about our Jewish brothers and sisters. We've got to tell somebody that Jesus Christ loves us all. We got to tell somebody about Jesus. We've got to introduce someone to Jesus because it's about our souls. And we've got to then introduce others to Jesus Christ. We got to tell folks how when we were lost, he found me. We got to tell folks. When we didn't think we were going to make it, he helped me. When we were lost and messed up, he restored me. We got to tell somebody about Jesus. So my mandate to you, will you tell somebody about Jesus? Tell him how much he loved you. So good, you can't keep Jesus to yourself. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the people of God said, amen.